I'm Mike Glasscott. Hour number two of the Glass in the Morning radio program. A very wintry looking Bloomington morning, 25 to get things started. Afternoon showers today, perhaps. Look at the radar. They should be here any minute. I don't know what afternoon they're looking at. PM, I guess, means afternoon. It's 8:08 and look at the radar and you tell me. It's green, plenty of it. And to the east of here is purple. That's a little mixed conditions as well. So if you are traveling over to 65, please keep an eye on it. I'm looking at what you're looking at, and it doesn't look like it's any fun. Tonight, not much funner. 30 in clouds. The good news, though, the precipitation, only a 20% chance. Morning clouds give way to afternoon sunshine. Pushing 50 on Friday. That's a little bit better, isn't it? The weekend gets better starting on Saturday. 55 on Saturday, 55 on Sunday. Both days partly cloudy. Both days just a very slight chance of precipitation. But we will have plenty of precipitation next week, Keith. Morning showers Tuesday, rain on Wednesday, light rain Thursday, rain on Friday, rain on Saturday. But we will trade for that temperatures in the 60s every day and temperatures in the 50s for the low every day, except one when it's 47. So we're going to warm up quickly. We're going to get a taste of spring. That's the good news, but we are going to have to do it with our gloshes and our bumper shoots. That's just going to have to
be. If you hit refresh, will it get the temperature higher?
I did, and it stretches out through St. Patrick's Day. It's the 60s every day, starting Monday the 7th for the foreseeable future. That's the predictor model,
cool.
And there's a chance of rain just about every
day
as well. Warm and rainy or cold and sunshine.
April
pretty easy
showers,
for me.
Spring flowers,
something like
all
that.
Stuff.
Something like that. Take a look for yourself. Updated forecast, live radar. You can find it all at WGCLradio.com. But before Sue and Keith join us to talk about local education issues, we have some breaking news for you this morning. But any time that our law enforcement officers, Keith, go above and beyond the call of duty, they are recognized, and they should be for doing so. And tomorrow, March 4th, 10:30 at City Hall, United States Senator Dan Coats and United States Senator Joe Donnelly will present the Congressional Badge of Bravery to Bloomington Police Officer William Abram. In 2014, Abram put himself in the line of fire to stop a violent sexual assault and successfully detained three suspects with the help of assisting officers. The Congressional Badge of Bravery is awarded annually by the United States Attorney General for exceptional acts of bravery in the line of duty by federal, state, and local law enforcement officers. Josh Minkler, United States Attorney in the Southern District of Indiana, will also be in attendance tomorrow. That's at Bloomington City Hall.
Both senators there. That's incredible.
At 10:30 tomorrow morning. It's
congratulations
it's fantastic
to that police officer and the Bloomington Police Department
to be up there as well.
Wow,
so that's tomorrow. So great news for the folks involved with all of that. And I will remind you of that tomorrow morning as well. It is Thursday morning. We do catch up with Keith and Sue Wanzer, who's birth. That's 2 hours of organized chaos is what it is. 2 hours.
Hit refresh.
We catch up with Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer, who both serve on the MCCSC school board. Sue, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you today?
Hey, I'm great, but it's really hard to follow that great announcement about the recognition in City Hall tomorrow.
That's pretty,
and I'm so lucky that I...
Pretty cool stuff, huh?
It is, and I'm so lucky I work there. You know, I can take five steps and be right there for the ceremony. So,
yeah. When both Indiana senators show up, that's a big, that's a large deal. And again, the bravery of our local law enforcement people should be celebrated because, again, it's a thankless, underpaid job that all of us take for granted, and we need to be more aware of that. And we spoke with Steve Kellums on Monday from the BPD. That was a cool relationship we're starting up with them, so it's funny how this is all tying together in week number one. But it's a busy time in the school system,
Keith. Well, Sue, I want to get us started because the HT's got a instant message today in which they say, with the MCCSE detailed referendum, are you supportive, against, or are you do you still have concerns that need to be answered? And a couple of the answers in that, and people's names are there, and I don't want to get into that, are that they're against the tax increase. There is no tax increase.
Where where is the referendum? Where is that information coming from that would confuse these people?
Well, because people assume with a referendum there is a tax increase. What they missed is this is a continuation of what we already have, and that it's a lowering of the current rate, and we've never taken the full amount we've been authorized in the first place.
So in a vacuum, that's accurate, because at some point you did the first referendum was
the very
tax,
first one
so,
was
but
a tax
this
increase,
is not
right.
it, and that's the differentiation you need to make, right, Sue?
Yes.
Well, exactly. And how many people say once you get a tax, you'll never reduce it? Well, we have reduced it, and I'll tell you by how much.
That's one of the smallest books in the world, though, right? It's National Book Day. That's one of the smallest books in the world.
Yeah. Right. But starting in 2010, the average home owner, they were paying $97 a year for the referendum. What we're proposing is for the average assessed value on a home, $86 a year. That dropped by $11. That's more than 10% cut in the continuation of the tax. So I think we're doing a really good job. Our referendum committee, our superintendent, our director of business operations put together a wonderful referendum budget showing where everything would be spent, and they were able to go ahead and lower the tax rate and the tax impact on every property owner in Monroe County School Corporation.
Well,
so,
and the other part, too, Sue, amazing. Is that as stewards of the money before, the MCCSC has never taken the full amount authorized.
Right, exactly. And I think that's a really good point, Keith. When we, when the first referendum passed, it passed for a maximum, and that maximum was something that then we can go in and ask for how much we want every year, and
right.
we never hit that maximum.
Exactly.
So even though people voted to approve that, we still got less money each year. And you're right. We have some administrators who are very, very good at managing money and cutting wherever they can.
Well, and if anyone has any concerns at all, look at the results that we can attribute directly to the success of the referendum. Higher graduation rates, higher rates in terms of academic performance, all of these kinds of things that have improved. The addition of interventionists and
preservationists, constitutionalists.
Yeah, there's just all kinds of things that have happened to make education work better for the students, and that's what it's all about.
Well, and with this continuing referendum at a lower rate, we're also going to be doing some other kinds of things. We're going to be adding some new things, really making the arts program at Fairview much more comprehensive, a STEM program, science, technology, engineering, and math at Grandview in elementary school. So we're really going to be able to, with a lower rate, expand even beyond what we have done. And again, that's all laid out in a document that the board did pass last Tuesday. It doesn't mean we've adopted the resolution. It just means the board agreed to that budget. And that's how we're going to spend the money. And it's out there for everyone to see.
Well, that's the point, Sue. If people are worried about, well, I don't want my tax money's going to some frivolous programs in their opinion or whatever it is, or I don't want it being socked away somewhere. Well, you can't do that. You've already put out the quote-unquote legal roadmap of where this money is going to go,
right.
So people can see exactly where the less money that they're going to give than they did last time is going to fund. And that's almost how you have to. That's almost how you have to describe it, so people understand that. Yes, the first referendum was a tax increase. It was. It's absolutely facts. There's nothing you can do about it. But it's also factual that you just pointed out that it is the new one will take less money out, right?
And we'll do more.
And we'll do things that are by law. On paper that say they have to be done, so it can't be some kind of money grab and bait and switch and look what the left hand's doing while the right hand's doing this, right?
Right, and we did it in response to some of the community who felt uncomfortable, who felt like maybe the money wasn't spent exactly as they thought it would be. So we're being really responsive, laying it out so everyone can see exactly where we're proposing that money be spent. And you're right. It's nothing that's frivolous. I mean, it's not as if, I don't know, we're going to build new buildings or anything like that.
I don't
that.
Know if you can put you Tim know, Thrasher and frivolous in the same sentence.
No, you can't.
That doesn't
you're
work.
Right. No.
And people can call Tim. They can ask Tim. They can email Tim. They can email anybody that's that is in the guts of this and to get more complex answers if they'd like to. We try to present an overview here. Sue, what's the best way to do it? Just find someone's email on the mccse.edu website and reach out to them?
Exactly. I think that would be the very best thing. And I'll tell you what, for a money guy, Tim Thrasher is always more than willing to sit down, even when people are upset and yelling, and he can very calmly explain what it is people want to know, and he can explain it in a way that we can all understand. So that's just all pretty amazing. And I know Tim would do that at any time. Our referendum chairs would do it at any time. Our superintendent would do it. Any board member would do it. So, yeah, I would hope. That's a good point, Mike. If somebody really has a concern, instead of just complaining, let us know what that concern is, and let us see if we can help you understand, or we can understand a little bit better what that concern is.
Sue Wanzer is our guest this morning. She serves on the MCCSE school board along with Keith. Keith had a jump out. He's got another appointment this morning, so Sue and I will take it from here. We can handle this. We're tough. And
we sure can.
I don't want to talk about ISTEP, but I got to talk about ISTEP, don't I?
Okay. Okay. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Is it happening?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I saw the sweetest letter.
Yeah, and Good Morning America or one of those shows. No, that was in Indianapolis, wasn't it?
And something here, too. The same thing happened in our school corporation.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
And I believe it was Lakeview, and I don't know where else it might have happened, but
I saw it on the Indianapolis News. Somebody went to they wrote a letter. The teacher or someone in the school wrote a letter to the kids that said, hey, and it's something you've harped on from day one here, that testing doesn't define who you are as a student. It doesn't define who you are as a person. It doesn't define how many languages you can speak or how many chords on the guitar you can play or how many hoops you can make in the basketball court. It is just a test, and everybody just needs to look at it that way. Except, asterisk, comma, except, exclamation point, the state looks at it a little bit differently. Where's our happy medium?
Well, exactly. And, you know, since the state has had a lot of discussions about the validity or the worth of ISTEP and going back and reviewing it, you know, I think what we have shown over the last few years that ISTEP does not do what the state wants it to do. The state is using it incorrectly to grade schools and to evaluate teachers, which is not what ISTEP was meant for. We know that the results of ISTEP come so late that it's really tough for teachers to even use it to understand what kids are learning and what they need to learn. And we know that every single day our teachers know that anyway, and we do different kinds of assessments in the school corporation, that we don't really need the ISTEP with the way that it's being administered.
And we know all that, but yet we keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. What effect does it have on kids? I mean, I took ISTEP 100 years ago. I don't know if I'm scarred for life on the deal, but is it worse that the teachers and the parents make a bigger deal about it that kind of puts the extra pressure on as well?
Well, it could. I don't know, you know, Mike, and I don't have kids, but, you know, to hear some of the stories about kids being so upset because they know from whatever source that this test means a whole lot to a whole lot of people, and they want to do the best they can. So I think anything that our teachers are doing, which they are, to kind of pull that back and say, you know, this is just one measure, don't worry, just do the best you can, and we'll get through it. It is unfortunate, though, that it is used to grade schools and it is used to grade teachers. And so, of course, kids feel that.
How else in a perfect world, Sue, would we grade teachers and students? I know we have this argument about once a quarter, but has anybody presented a clear and understandable system that, A, covers the, I don't want to say meritocracy of it, but you've got to figure out who the good ones are and the not-so-good ones are so they can get help, I would think. Is there a plan out there that's being suppressed, held back, or not being introduced because of the big testing money?
Well, you know, well, sure, the big testing money has taken a whole lot of money out of state education budget. But, yeah, our teachers, through their professional learning communities in every single school, they do that all the time for our kids. They're constantly assessing, finding out what they know, finding out what they need to know, and then together figuring out what they need to do. And since we've started our PLCs, we've seen an increase in student achievement. Teachers are feeling better about what they're doing. So that would be my plan. And for grading or assessing teachers, we have a pretty complex rubric that administrators use to assess how teachers are doing, what they need to improve in, and everybody needs to improve, so that's no big deal.
Yeah.
So it really is a blueprint. It's not something that's a punishment or you're bad at this. It's just talking about here are your strengths and here's where we can get better. And then our teachers in every building work on that together with each other.
Where I get lost in all this is we need to know what's on the test so we can teach the test, but we need to teach better just because we want to get better. And again, it seems like we're chasing our tail to catch something that's not really there. it's a convoluted statement because it's kind of convoluted. If we're just teaching to the test, what are we teaching? Is that really education or learning?
Exactly. We're teaching people how to take a test. And, you know, my cynical view...
Because we've read this in the paper, Sue. I got to know what's on the test. I got to know what to teach my kids. It makes me itchy.
I know. And my cynical view is that the state grades schools so that they can then judge schools to be ineffective and then they can then take it over. And that takeover involves private corporations. So, again, there's money involved. Instead of doing that, let's put the billions of dollars spent on testing into actually teaching and ensure that learning is fun for kids and it's problem-solving and it's exploring and it's not about learning how to take a test.
And somewhere in the middle of all that is the answer to the question that I don't know if anybody wants the answer. I think we just have to continuously follow the money and see where it leads us, and then you get some really clear answers when that gets either taken away, reduced, or anything else. So until that system is shuffled and fixed up, that's what we just have to ride the wave and do the best we can. Just take the test, put a smile on your face. It is not the end of the world. No one has ever failed in life because they had a bad eye step test. That's not where we're going with this.
Well, and and that's a really good point, and that's something our superintendent continually says. This is something that by law we have to do, and we will continue to do it, and we're not going to let it get in our way of everything that we think is important in terms of learning outcomes for our students. So, yeah, I think that's a great attitude. We go forward and we'll deal with it, and our teachers will still be the great teachers that they have been.
Sue, what else are we looking at as we get things wrapped up here on a Thursday? Anything else I'm forgetting that's of importance? We know spring break is coming up here in a couple of weeks. Everybody's got their calendars marked for all of that. Anything else we need to touch on?
Well, just quickly, something that did happen at the meeting last week, and we can talk about this a little bit more as we get into the process. The school board authorized the school corporation to put out a bid for contract transportation services, meaning drivers and buses. We know how hard it's been for us, not just us, a lot of school corporations, to have an adequate number of bus drivers. So what we've done is put out a bid, and that process will be going on through the month of March and into April to see what kind of responses we get from transportation services and what they could offer us in terms of contracted student transportation services. So we'll keep you filled in on that as
yes,
we go
please.
Along.
Please, please,
and
please.
And this does not mean anybody's going to lose their job. It's nothing like that. We just want to have a better system so that we don't have custodians and other administrative staff driving buses because we don't have enough people to drive buses.
Well,
so this will just help us.
Yeah, because the kids have to get to school somehow, and
exactly.
And we already know the bus and transportation issues, and that's another nonstop issue. Again, if we had a bucket full of money, Sue, it'd be an easier fix. That's not the case. So we we play the cards we're dealt, and we try to do the best with them. And we appreciate your time and effort.
Okay.
Great stuff as always.
I'll talk to you next week.
And enjoy the ceremony tomorrow morning as well. Give me an update on that.
I sure will.
Thank you, Sue.
Okay,
I appreciate the time. Sue Wanzer, Keith Klein, both serve on the MCCSC School Board.